And West Indies Test Series to be played for the Wisden Trophy. The next time these two teams meet in a series, they'll play for the Richards Botham Trophy, named, of course, after Sir Viv Richards and Sir Ian Botham. So, what do the two cricketing knights make of this honour? Well, it was obviously difficult to get them in the same room at this current time, but we did get them together on Zoom alongside Isha Guha.
Gentlemen, what a pleasure it is to be joined by two sirs and the Botham Richards Trophy. What an honour. How special is that for both of you? Sir Ian, I'll start with you.
Look, it came out of the blue. I got a phone call and I sat back and I thought, well, that really is a big honour, you know, to have that now renamed. I thought it was quite amazing and I thought, well, it couldn't be with a better bloke. So, very happy that the two of us have been. I'm pleased for as much for myself as I am for Viv, because you know, he's the best player, the best batsman I ever bowled to, and he in every format of the game he's been the best. So it was a great honour to grow up with him. You know, we started our first class careers on the same day, and we played and had a great run at Somerset together in a fantastic dressing room led by Brian Close at the start. And I think we probably, both of us, owe Closey quite a lot to getting us into this position now. So, no, great honour. Very, very flattered. And look forward to catching up with the man himself soon. We're always bordering on no travel. It's been quite difficult.
Well, you get to catch up on Zoom. So Viv, just talk us through the significance to you and what a journey it's been with Sir Ian.
Well, when I first got the news from our president, Mr. Ricky Skerritt, you know, I felt sort of a welcoming, and especially the individual that they would have mentioned as well, that we have spent some time, quality time together. We have had some success together. You know, there are times when I know when I first came to England, just how welcoming Ian made me felt as an individual, because, you know, there can be some funny people around the world, not everyone who appreciates this colour. And to me, Ian sort of adopted me as a friend, which was pretty welcoming. And I just felt that at that time, we sort of sent a huge message to the world that two people of different races can compete together and will certainly live together, share a lot of good things together over the years. You know, so To be sharing this trophy with Ian, one of my best mates, as I said, an individual that would his friendship would last for forever. That's how I see Ian. He's just a very special person. So you ain't gonna have two sort of funny guys, two good guys, in my opinion, whose name is gonna be on whatever trophy. I don't think that's too bad.
I want to get to some of your stories in just a moment, but can you just describe the significance of England versus West Indies test matches? I mean, we often talk about the Ashes, but what do these two teams playing against each other mean to you, Ian?
Well, when we played, when I was lucky enough, or unlucky enough, whichever way you look at it, to play against the best side I think that's ever played test cricket, most of the time it's pretty painful. You know, you get a busted rib and you copped a few from, although there wasn't too many drive balls in those days, and it was very testing. And I've gone on record and said, in my opinion, it's the best test team that ever played, has ever played the game. It was their peak. You just look at the batting lineup, you know, Desi, Gordon Greenidge, Viv, Kalicharan, Larry Gomes, who was another thorn on the side, Clive Lloyd. You know, it just goes on and on. Then you start the other end. You've got Dujon. You know, he wasn't a bad player in his own rights. And then, of course, you've got about 12 quick bowlers, all 6 foot plus, with the exception of probably Macko, Malcolm Marshall, all wanting to bowl at 100 miles an hour. Oh, it was great fun. It was great fun. As captain, my first job, when I was going to the dressing room during that series, the first thing I did is I counted up to see how many fit men I had for the next day. It was very formidable, but an honour to play it against what I think was the best side that ever played the game.
I hope you don't mind me reminding you, but in 20 tests that you played against the West Indies, you won just one test match. There was another opportunity at Lords 84. Did you feel that should have been one that, that England took care of?
What happened in 84? I can't remember what happened yesterday. What happened in 84?
the special Gordon Greenwich moment.
Oh, crap. Well, yeah. Yeah, we actually didn't want to declare. David Gower, I think, was captain, if I'm right. And I don't think none of us really thought we'd worked so hard to get ourselves into that position that we didn't want to declare. And the then chairman said, oh, no, you've got to declare. No one can get those runs now. You might even win the game. Well, by tea time, it was all over Red Rover and we were on our way home. But they were monstrous. They were magnificent. They dominated. And lucky enough to get to know very well a lot of those players. And to rub shoulders with them in the arena was a great honour.
So, Viv, what did it mean to you to play against England? What did it represent?
Well, as a little boy growing up, I always remember the late commentary coming from people like John Ollett. I don't think he got to that stage. But the commentary, Brian Johnson on the BBC, they were special in describing what's happening at Lords. And as a little boy, I always felt that I wanted to be in that particular position. Hearing my heroes before we came along, the Zagaris, and the Wes Hall, Charlie Griffith, Conrad Hunt, Ron Canai, and all these people. So I wanted to be, from very early, to be in that position because of the road in which they would have cleared for me as an individual. And it's a series at every time. And I thought also that... when you have a country, who have been your colonizer for so many years, and decades and stuff like that, for you to have someone coming from the colony in itself, a small island like Antigua, that you are able to compete with the individuals who once did whatever, that's for me, it's my ashes.
That's good to hear. Now, I want to ask you about the Botham Richards Trophy and how you expect it to be played. I mean, do you want it to be representative of your relationship that you had this fierce rivalry on the pitch, but great mates off it?
Well, I think that's how most sport is played, certainly in our time. Whether you were playing the West Indies or Australia, you battle on the field, but at the end of the day's play, you'd sit down in the dressing rooms and you'd have a beer or you'd have a chat, whatever. And I think that's what it's all about. Being fierce and as formidable as you can be when you're out there playing, but then at the end of the day, the stumps come out of the ground and then it's back to the real world. It's back to us sitting around, and there was a lot of very funny moments in those dressing rooms all around the world with all teams. I think that's gone out of the... It doesn't happen so much now, and I think that's a shame because obviously we're in weird times at the moment, so it's not going to happen. But it used to happen all the time, and that sort of faded away. And I think that probably didn't help in a lot of ways, because a highlight for me was watching Viv grow up. When we grew up together, we shared the house for 10 years or whatever it was, and you watch his career blossom and grow up, and that gave me as much of a buzz. And I had an advantage because I actually knew him better than probably most people in English cricket, certainly, and in the world of cricket. And it's just great. It's just fantastic. And to be honoured, and it is an honour. I got a phone call and I was told you've been playing for the Richards Botham Trophy and we're going to rename it instead of Wisden. It sort of knocked me over a bit, actually. I thought, well, there isn't really a bigger honour than that. And I hope it's very competitive, tough and hard, but good off the field as well.
When did you first become aware of each other and your abilities?
Well, we were playing for the under-25s team. I got selected. I was playing club cricket at Lansdowne Cricket Club at the time. And I got invited to play the under-25s. I think it was against Glamorgan, which was my second county when I left Somerset. So when I walked into the dressing room, I remember this guy... Wow, I'm in a strange land. This individual coming from a very small island, there's a lot of things that I wasn't accustomed to when I first arrived in England. And as I walked into the dressing room, obviously I'm a stranger. I hardly knew anyone. And Biffy came up with a glass of cider, if I'm correct. We couldn't afford it then, but he came up and he said to me, man, I think it was after the match, he came. I was scheduled to be the batsman. And I got out first ball for a duck. And Ian went in and smashed 100. And he came after with the cider and he said, from now on, I'm going to do the batting. I went in and apparently he was supposed to be the all-rounder who was supposed to get the wickets. I ended up getting 5 for 25. Ian came up and he said to me, hey, from now on, we're going to change roles. I'm going to be the batter and you'll be the bowler. And just the friendship started from there. And from there, we just hit it right on. And just the approach of Ian and his friendship and just the way in which we felt as an individual, whether I was black or white or yellow, whatever the case might be, he was just a people's person. And I just felt pretty much moved. And I said to myself, oh, that's going to be reasonably okay. And Ian sort of sent that message that there's some good people around.
Ian, what was your recollection of that moment? And did you think that the cider was going to break the ice?
Well, we had the cider. I'd like to point out that was at the end of the day's play.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that.
We enjoyed it. We enjoyed each other's company, but you know, with the cider, it had to be afterwards. But no, I'd heard all this about this West Indian guy from Antigua, Vivian Richards, Isaac Vivian Alexander Richards, who was playing up in Bath, the Lansdowne, and he was smashing it all around the county, to be honest, and from neighbouring counties, and just a run machine. But we struck it off straight away. He's right. I got 100. He got out first ball, but he actually got 6 for 25, and I didn't pick up a wicket. And you know, the mutual agreement was, well, okay, Beefy, you get the runs, Smokey, you get the wickets. It didn't quite work out that way, but that was the first time we met, and I remember. I think Kath was with me at the time, my wife-to-be then, and my mother, I think, came down to watch this game, and consequently, my mum ended up with Mama B, as Viv used to call her, and as we both called her in the end. But every once a week, we drive over from Taunton to Yeovil, dump the bags of laundry, go down and play golf at the golf course, and then come back and take all this press clean stuff back to Taunton. So, yeah, it wasn't a case of this being a gradual. It was almost an instant friendship, and it's been that way since. And as I said earlier, if we don't see each other for 6 months, it doesn't make any difference. It's as if we've been together all that time. So it is a special relationship, and he's godfather to Liam, my son, my son, and he's very proud of that, and he still calls him Uncle Viv, which I think is quite amusing. Well, we are getting old, Smokey.
Yes, you're getting on for sure.
What would you say some of your favourite memories are then playing against each other on the field? I mean, we recently showed some archive footage back of 1984, that Greenwich double century, and there was a moment there, Viv, you were looking as cool as ever, and Beefy bowls you a bouncer, and you come down the track and you're pretty much nearly at the other end and you're tapping your bat down on the wicket as if to say you're bowling way too short. What would you say, you know, when you look back on your time against each other on the field, what are some of your favourite memories?
Certainly, some of my favourite memories would be the fact that the success that we had together. The first thing, maybe let us deal with on the club side of things, where Somerset never won anything for a number of years. Then up come these two young individuals, as vibrant as anything can be, full of energy. And we obviously started winning trophies. And as a professional, these are the stuff that I think you pray for. You pray that you get yourself in such positions that you can be successful. And Ian certainly created that. He brought that energy, saw someone who was a go-getter. And we learn from a lot from one another, and I think that's the most important things that you can remember. Just the friendship that shared because of the things we went through together. I can remember when he had his problems with the captaincy and he was about to resign. He came on that night. Yeah, he came on that night and I stayed up with him. And you could see that the news and the press and everyone was all over the place. And he brought a couple of that stuff in the bottle again. He just started to get involved with the red wine business. And he brought a couple of reds home that night. And I think we went through them. And we spoke about maybe what was going to happen in the future. He said to me that he would relinquish the captaincy. And he just wanted to be here and again. Because as an outsider, I felt that because of Ian's nature and free sort of spirit, that he didn't quite get the support that he should have from a lot of members in that team at the time when Ian was captain. And that was, I think, maybe why he was in a position to fail.
I mean, it was vice versa, wasn't it? Because you had Viv's back at Somerset as well, Ian. You know, it was very much that kind of brotherhood between you two.
Oh, definitely. We've always said that. You know, I remember that one innings he was about, he got to 147 against us. I think it was at Lord's. And they announced that the Tanai Viv had just gone past 5,000 runs or whatever it was in those days. And I walked past him and I just said, let's just hope that's the same score tonight. He got out two balls later. Not to me. Peter Willie, I think, got him out, leading in.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. But
I remember that, yeah. Mickey Mouse dismissal.
Well, you know, we had a lot. You know, it wasn't a case of having his back. It was just what was being done at Somerset at that time was totally wrong and for the wrong reasons. And Joel was affected, of course, by this as well. And I thought it was disgraceful, and I stand by that. And it was disgraceful for many reasons, but Somerset had never won a single trophy when we joined the club. And then with the help of Joel and Hallam Mosley and all these guys that came through from all around the world, you know, playing for Somerset was an honour. And the way they were treated was quite disgraceful, and I wasn't prepared to stay there and be part of that. And I marched off, and you know, when I was... It was Viv says, I remember that evening, you know, I decided I didn't want to be the captaincy anymore. I felt that I wasn't getting a crack of the whip. I've been given the job one test at a time, which is ridiculous. There's no continuity for me or the team. And it was quite a ridiculous situation to be in. So, yeah, you know, that's how close we were. You know, can't get much closer than that. You know, 10 years together in a house, you get to know each other very, very well, believe me. Good and bad.
What were some of the bad stuff?
I'll tell you something. I was very, very tidy. Very tidy, me. Viv used to... I used to raid his fridge. I had one fridge, which was cider and a few glasses, little bottles of wine, and he had the food. And of course, Joel Garner, who's another great mate, he used to cook food. And we used to go around and find out when Joel was not in the house, go in, eat the stew, and then leave a few stones in there. Hot. So when he came in, he thought there was food in there. Next morning, the dressing room, the two of us scattered very quickly when a big, angry Joel Garner walked through the door. So, yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of stories. Just a privilege and an honour to having a mate like that. It's very special.
Can you remember a time when you wanted to smash Ian out the park, or Ian, you were so desperate to get him out? I mean, that fastest 100 must have been... You know, an incredible moment for you. And I actually I had a look at the scorecard, Ian, and you were going at 5/6 and over. But that must have been, you know, brutal when he was going as he was.
Yeah, and I think if I remember right, we were one or two bowlers down as well. So I'd keep on going. But that was, as I've said on many occasions, the good thing about it was, it was only 56 balls we had to suffer for. Yeah, so he didn't prolong the agony. It was just a very quick, sudden death. Yeah, and that we were taking that care of. But I do remind him in the first innings I did get him out for not very many, I think, caught hooking. So, yeah, I got great delight if I got his wicket. And he got even more delight when he got my wicket in Trinidad, I remember, where he danced around me all the way back to the dressing room. but no, so many great memories. And as Viv says quite rightly, all of that started at Lansdowne in Bath, and then went through the Somerset for 15 years or whatever it was. And then I went to Worcester, Viv went to Glamorgan, and it was just as competitive. So, yeah, we didn't know any other way of playing, the two of us. It was to, we played to win or try and win.
Someone who plays